I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It's a darn good thing that I have ESPN Plus, because imagine my disappointment, and I do have streaming, and I understand why they're on. I just think this would have been a great network game. Nonetheless, the Tampa Bay Lightning at Florida against that great team down there, and to see them go down there and win, but not just win, Steve. Here was the interesting thing that I personally thought, and I have not seen every game. I think it might have been the best game Andrei Vasilevskiy has played.
I'd be hard to argue that. He was phenomenal.
And even 50 though saves? Is that what it was? 50?
47 saves. 50 shots.
Man.
But they were outshot 38-5 in the last two periods.
That's insane. But I mean,
the Lightning had five shots on goal in the last two periods, and three of them went in.
And three were in. Now, that's being efficient, no doubt about it.
That's one way to call it.
Yeah, and well, yeah.
I don't think that's what John Cooper would say.
No, probably not. I didn't see, you can fill me in on that, because I didn't get to see Coop's post game, which must have been interesting. But no, in as much as, like, if this were a playoff game, right, and it had that feel to it, because this is a great rivalry, right? They played mm-hmm. in the postseason. Florida is the team, right, in the East right yep. now. Mm-hmm. And they are so talented. I mean, they're so good. And yet, this was one that you could see as a playoff game and go, yep, they won because that goaltender stole the game. Well, and their special teams were really good, too. Don't get me wrong.
No question about the goaltender.
They jumped on him.
The way they defended, that's how you defend in the playoffs. Things don't go smooth in the playoffs.
Right.
You have you'd like not two periods of those stretches, but you have stretches where the other team's got to run a play and is cycling and shooting and, you know, and you've got to do whatever
you're
it takes.
Stuck down there for a while, yeah.
And the Lightning showed they can do that. I mean, that's what they did. They built a big lead, and then they had to hold on. Now, you don't like everything about the game, but that definitely had a playoff feel to it. It's probably the best team in hockey to this point.
I agree, yeah.
The Panthers. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you went down to their house after they embarrassed you at Amalie Arena, nine goals last time?
Yeah.
To go down there and do that. But yeah, Andrei Vasilevskiy, fantastic. Got off to a hot start. But it was such a disjointed game.
Well, it was weird because they score, mm-hmm. I don't know how many seconds into it Stamkos scores.
20 seconds in, the fastest of his career.
Yeah.
But what I mean by disjointed was each team had, what, seven power plays?
Mm-hmm.
Including a five-minute major that was only a three-minute power play because AC Mount got a roughing call as well. But I think there was only 34 minutes of five-on-five play in the game, which is just barely more than half the game.
Right.
Like, there was so much five-on-four, five-on-three, six-on-five play that it was just disjointed. Like, non-penalty killers or non-power play guys had long stretches of not playing. And so you just get out of rhythm. It messes teams up when you have that much odd man, because either your power play is getting a ton of time, which means your top guys are, but other guys aren't, or your penalty kill is getting hard minutes, but other guys aren't playing. And you lose flow, you lose rhythm. And this was for both teams. It wasn't like it was just the Lightning that had to deal with this.
Right.
But when you have that much power play time, and you're not going to see that in the playoffs typically, but when you have that much, it makes the game, the flow is just off on it.
Right.
And you know, both teams took advantage at times of it. Both teams scored, what, one power play goal?
Yeah. At the end of the day, though, I think all those penalties benefited the Lightning, because I don't think they're as good 5-on-5 as Florida would be.
Mm-hmm. Well, the stats would definitely say that for sure.
And having said all that, the biggest play, I mean, the one that changed the game was they have a goal disallowed because of the five-minute major game misconduct, whatnot. Mm-hmm. So you take a goal away, then you put the Lightning on a long power play, and they score. That's a two-goal swing in a game that was, at one point, 4-3, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that you know, and credit them for taking advantage of that. Don't get me wrong. I mean, and it was a brutal penalty. I don't know about the whole game thing, but I mean, they certainly deserved to disallow the goal because it was prior to the shot and all of that. But that was really the turning point for me, because Florida was obviously pressing and pressing and pressing, and it looked like they were going to tie this thing up. But the Lightning never trailed after that. But listen, if you can go down there and win that game after they embarrassed you, and it's coming after beating the Rangers, you know, the previous game, those are two huge quality wins. And now they go on the West Coast. They got Las Vegas, tomorrow night? And then they got this West Coast trip, which is still coming up.
Yeah, you've got the San Jose and then Anaheim, L.A. I don't remember the order. I think it's L.A., Anaheim.
Right.
Over the weekend, back-to-back over the weekend.
And they're sitting pretty because they're getting help. Because remember all those games at hand? Those are kind of gone. But Detroit lost. The Islanders lost. Like, the teams they need to lose lost.
Yeah, the Lightning are 4 points ahead of Detroit now, and the Lightning have a game in hand.
There you go.
They're 5 points ahead of Washington. Washington does have a game in hand. And they're 5 points ahead of the Islanders with the same number of games. So they've got, it's not a big cushion, but you've got a little bit of a cushion.
Right.
Because the teams around you keep losing. Detroit's lost 8 of 9 now?
Yeah.
All of those in regulation, those losses?
Mm-hmm.
But that game Saturday, like I said, it was weird. It was disjointed. The Lightning got off to a hot start, but it showed they can play the way you're going to have to play in the playoffs at times.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're going to have to be on the penalty kill. You're going to have to log some hard minutes. You're going to have teams that press and push, because it's going to be teams like Florida you're facing.
Right.
And so I think there's some good to take out of the game. You're not happy with everything. I mean, you get 5 shots in 2 periods, and you're outshot 38-5. You're not happy.
Never, you're going to win many games that way.
I don't care if you have a lead or not. You're not happy about that.
Right.
Like, it doesn't have to be even up at that point, but it can't be 38-5. Like, it can't be 17 straight shots that the Panthers take. And I mean, the Panthers had more shots on the power play in that game than the Lightning had the whole game.
That's crazy, man. Yeah, the stats were all whacked out. I mean, and the final score was too. But, you know, again, the quality of the opponent, even in a disjointed game, you find a way to win. You need to win, and you need to win on the road against a really good team that just had your number. Those are all character builders, and I'm sorry, but like the guys that they brought in have provided some juice and some spark, and you can see that. And also, I was going to ask you about this, because this is one of those, you know, hockey questions that I'm not really sure about. But, okay, so they had all these games at hand. And then at the end of the season, it could have bit them had those other teams taken advantage.
Mm-hmm.
But here they are towards the latter part of the season, and they're playing on Tuesday and then Saturday, or Thursday, then Saturday. And then they get all these days off, right, the last 2-3 weeks.
Yep.
Steve, I think that's benefited them beyond belief. I think they're a fresher team right now when it really matters.
You'd like to think they are. I mean, I don't know, but we talked about this, and Pittsburgh's kind of fallen out of the playoff race. But from March 2nd to March 30th, Pittsburgh had to play 16 games in 29 days. The Lightning play 11 games in that stretch in 29 days. Like, 5 less games in a month.
That's big.
That's
on the legs.
Huge. That's huge on your team and rest. I mean,
and
maybe the Lightning came out a little slow.
As a result,
in the two Thursday games, it's after possible. 4 days off. And that's possible too. But I think long term, I think you're right. I think rest is always a good thing. You'll always take rest when you can get it.
Agreed. Late in the year.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? When it's cumulative, when you've grinded it out so long that now you get a little bit of your legs back, you know?
Well, and look at the teams around them that are now making up those games in hands and playing more games in the Lightning right now. They're losing.
They're losing, yeah.
Now, I don't know if that's the reason for it, but
right.
You put a lot of games in a tight window, you don't win them all, typically.
Right. No, I'd much rather have some of those days off at the end of the season when I can, rediscover my strength a little bit and catch a breather here and there and have some practice or whatever you're going to do, guys, just resting up. I mean, all of that, right? And you've got new players that need to find their roles and their lines and all that.
I think we found Anthony Duclair's role.
Oh, wow. And now, right?
He looks really good on that top line.
Yeah, he does. With here's point, the thing I noticed,
and Cooch, and which tell allows me Stamkos to come down and play with Hagel and Cirelli, and that's been a really good line too.
It has, and tell me if I'm wrong about this. Again, deferring to your expertise, but like when you have that much speed, they're kind of skating backwards a little faster now.
On that line, you have Point and Declare with that speed.
That's what I'm saying. So like you can't, you know, hey, meet you at the red line. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like. They're starting to have to go backwards a little quicker, which is allowing you, you know, to get up the ice and get it deeper and not get, you know, stood up.
And if Point and Duclair are forcing you to back up quicker, who's got more space?
There you go.
Cooch.
Yeah, the playmaker. Yeah.
That's who you want to have the space.
Yeah, because you want him to have it on his stick and make plays for you. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I think that's where he belongs. And obviously they found something there, right?
Mm-hmm. Now, they even tried him a little bit on the top power play on Saturday as well. They gave him a little time in place of Cirelli.
Sure, sure.
You know, they're trying some things out and seeing where he fits and what he can do. And I think, look, on the ice, they've been tremendous, both Duclair and Dumba in the first three games. But it sounds like in hearing from the players and that, the difference in the room has been tremendous too.
That's what Stamkos has said. Stamkos says, look, we all know they're good players. I mean, they came here that way. Everybody knows their reputation. You know, obviously he's played with them before, but like his thing was, it's more about what they've been like in the room, their energy, the way they fit in, you know, just their aura about them. I mean, I think, you know, when fresh blood is great, if it fits in, if it mixes with you well, and you know, here comes a couple of guys excited to be there and wanting to help them make a push and want to win a Stanley Cup. And, you know, it's just kind of like, it's a breath of fresh air. You know, they're excited. It makes you excited to play. They're excited to play with you. And then all of a sudden you're like, well, let's see what we got here. You know, let's see how these guys can fit in with, how can I play with this guy? How can he help me? You know?
Well, and I think, you know, and what you're kind of hearing now from Stamkos and others, especially when they talk about the energy they brought to the room is I think, and maybe we haven't realize this enough because you're not in the room, but losing Maroon, Corey Perry, Belmar, Ryan McDonough,
it's a lot.
Some of these guys over the years, like I think a lot of the voices in that locker room were lost. And it sounds like, and ESPN was even talking about a little bit on the broadcast, you know, the Lightning locker room is a quiet locker room.
Cooch isn't going to give long speeches. Stamkos isn't going to give a bunch of speeches.
Hedman's not that way either, I don't think.
No.
You know, where, and forget the long speech. It doesn't have to be about speeches, but even just lightening it up. And
just life, yeah.
You know, and it sounds like that the addition of Duclair and Dumba, who are pretty big personalities, very comfortable in their own skin, veterans, have stepped in and added some looseness to the locker room.
And that's a good way to put it.
I think you're seeing it on the ice in these first three games with them.
That's a good way to put it. They're playing a little looser, a little more free. You know, sometimes it just takes other people to tell you how good you are to realize how good you are. You know what I mean?
Well, or you know, even just whether it's the right time to crack a joke or you know, I mean, there's
take the pressure off.
You're in that locker room, you know, for six straight months, and hopefully eight or nine if you go a long way in the playoffs, and. You know, you always say you're there more than with your family and such, and you've got good games and bad games, and you know, but how do you keep a level head through it all? And you know, you're going to have some guys that are serious and don't say much, but you also need those guys that know the right moment to pull a prank or to tell a joke or to whatever. I mean, you know, it's you know, the 04 Cup team was back for the Lightning Hall of Fame ceremony, and one of the famous stories is from the 04 Cup run during the Stanley Cup final. I believe it was game five. After game five, the Lightning had lost that game. We're going back to Calgary. And the Cup was going to be in the building. You know, it was a, you know, you were hoping to win that on home ice, take the 3-2 advantage. Now you're down 3-2 going to Calgary. And everyone was just tense, they said. And Andre Waugh, the character he is, goes to the back of the plane, strips down, puts on one of the stewardess's aprons or whatever, and that's all he's wearing, or
God.
Very little else. And he starts going down the aisle handing out cookies to everybody.
Okay.
And at first,
so somehow
and then people start realizing it, what he's doing. and how he's doing it. And the plane's in hysterics.
Oh, man.
You know, and he's being the stewardess, handing out cookies, and that's all.
Lighten it up.
And even Tortorella's laughing. And it just loosened everything up. Like, but you can't do that every day.
No.
You got to know the right time and the right place to do that.
Yeah.
And it just, you know, and the guys all talk. I mean, that's one of the famous things that, I mean, Andre Roy, there's tons of stories of him. But, you know, it's one of those stories where it was the right time to do that. And it loosened everybody up. Now, is that the reason they won game six? I don't know. I mean, you know, went to double overtime and Marty gets the game winning goal. But, you know, they're just like with your family or your friends, whatever, you know, there's things that, like there's times for that stuff. And you got to have guys that are capable of doing that at those right times and knowing the right time. And whether Dumba and Duclair that way, with, you know, I don't know if they're Andre Roy, but if they've added some energy, they've added some life to a quiet locker room.
Right.
And so far, you've seen the first three games of with them playing. It's been tremendous.
Yeah. No, they made a difference. There's no doubt about it. And Canadian authorities probably should have arrested him as soon as he got off the plane. But that's had they known.
Well, it's a charter flight. So
for indecent exposure. Yeah. But there's, you know, there's a crew on there after all.
Oh, believe me, they had the parade route planned. They were, I mean, you know,
all the
stories in Calgary, man, it was like,
you know, it was over.
Why even play the game? I mean, they were going to win that.
I know. Well, frankly, it felt like it was over. But when they had to go up there for game six, and Marty doesn't have the goal of the history of the franchise. I mean, that is the Rondi Barber 92-yard interception right there.
It is. It's almost the exact equivalent.
It is.
I mean, it's the one that sealed it and sent it to the next game where you had a chance to win it all.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't think Calgary ever recovered from that.
I don't think they still have.
No, apparently not. I just remember, was it Aginla? Is that? He was a monster.
Oh, yeah.
He was a monster back then.
Well, when he and Vinny fought, I think it was game four of the series. Like two stars fighting in the playoffs.
Two behemoths.
You don't see that very often.
No, huh? No. No, it was a tremendous series. You know, and hockey then was still, I mean, it had been around obviously for over a decade at that point, but it still felt like in this area, you know, you're in the Stanley Cup. I mean, like you have a chance to win it. So it wasn't the birth of hockey, but I can just remember having friends over and like the white knuckle type of feeling that everybody in the room had watching those games. I don't remember anyone that I've been around people then that stressed out about the outcome and just the changes, right? The momentum shifts and, you know, from one game to the next, and you have these watch parties and people over, and it's like, it's one of those, I remember where I was type things when Marty scores in game six. And then of course game seven was unbelievable, but I didn't get to go. Know a lot of people that were in that building. Apparently there's even more now, that went, but, probably about 200,000 or so. It was really just a coming of age, obviously, in the first Stanley Cup and all that magical time. And who knows, you know, like I thought before these last couple games, maybe these last couple weeks, didn't seem to me like if the Lightning made the playoffs that they were probably capable of winning a series, you know, just didn't feel that way. Now I got to be honest with you. Now all you read, especially when they beat the Rangers. And then, you know, I think we talked about this that, you know, oh, here they go. They just kind of lay in the weeds. And then all of a sudden the playoffs are coming. They make a deal or two. And here they come. And no one wants to play these guys. I'd rather play anybody else but the Tampa Bay. You know, and that's, you know, and then you see Andre Vasilevskiy go out there and get damn near 50 saves. And you're like, okay, he's still that monster in the net that can just steal a game.
That's the biggest reason right there.
Yeah. He is the reason.
What he just did Saturday night.
That more than anything served notice to the rest of the league, right? This guy can cut your heart out.
How many times did the Florida Panthers take a shot and then look to the sky? Like,
oh gosh, yeah, so many. And it wasn't just the three posts they hit, because I'm tired of hearing people talk about hitting posts. You know what? If you hit a post, it's not a goal. You know, like it's, you might as well miss it by 3 feet. It doesn't matter. It's the same outcome. You know, oh, you hit a post. It's not a goal. And I know they had one taken off the board, but I thought that was the right call. But still.
Oh, it was. He's got a hearing, I believe, today with Department of
Players. Does he? Do you think he's going to get time?
Well, I mean, a match penalty is supposed to be an automatic suspension pending a review or a hearing, basically.
Game or two, probably.
It's a phone hearing, so it's definitely five games or less.
Okay.
If you have an if it's going to be five or more, it's an in-person hearing. So
it looked like, I mean, it was a horrible hit. Now, fortunately, he wasn't hurt.
I'm not sure he was intending to do that, but I mean, it definitely was a hit to the head. The right call was made. I mean, that's the right call there. Yeah. I don't know how much more supplemental discipline he'll get on that.
Yeah.
I mean, Sherry was also falling a little bit. But.
And he's a shorter guy. Arguably, it cost them a game, which is one thing, right? But it was the right call also to disallow the goal.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. I mean, the penalty happened before then. So
right.
As soon as the Panthers touch the puck, the play is dead.
Play's over. Yeah. So you can't reward them. But huge turning point in that game. So that was fun. So we'll see how they do when they go to Las Vegas. And like I said, all the things are falling the right way for them as far as trying to make the playoffs, and they just need to come back with a decent number of points on this road trip.
15 games to go. The regular season of the NHL ends a month from today.
1 month, wow.
Yeah, the Lightning's regular season is a month from yesterday. On April 17th, but
it's still almost hard to believe they got a month left, to be honest with you.
Well, 15 games in a month, so it's about every other day at this point.
Yeah. No, it's a long ass season. There's no doubt about that. Okay, so let's get into USF basketball a little bit. And first and foremost, you know, look, congratulations to the Bulls on an unexpectedly unbelievable season. There's no other way to say it. I mean, this team was picked for what, ninth in their own conference. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know how many games they had won the past two or three years, but it certainly doesn't add up to what they did, you know, this year for sure by winning 24 and going 24-7. And yes, as we found out as we're doing this podcast, they are in the NIT. They will play at USF.
UCF.
Or UCF, USF, they are USF. They will play at UCF. They didn't get a home game, but they're going to go to Central Florida, play the Knights. That game is on Wednesday night, I believe.
Wednesday night, 9 p.m.
9 p.m. Okay.
ESPN Plus, you got to use that subscription again.
See, here we go again. All the good events are on ESPN Plus. I'm not trying to sell them, but, you know, get the streaming service, folks. It worked for me the other night when I watched the Lightning. So bracketology got them, okay? But they also got themselves a little bit. And here's the thing, like, again, you cannot diminish what this team has accomplished because, you know, when you win sort of for the first time, which this group has, right, and you see the job that, you know, to put this thing together in one season as quickly as they did, you know, especially with, you know, new head coach and all of that, I mean, Amir Abdur-Rahim could not have – no one could have done a better job than him. It just simply couldn't have happened. And so, unfortunately for them, they get the consolation prize, which is the NIT. It's still a postseason tournament. They still could run through that thing and make a lot of points and serve a lot of notice of how good they are. But there's also a side of it, and this is just sort of a loser's lament, I guess, with any program. Mostly teams that don't make the NCAAs. But we knew this kind of going into the tournament, that their strength of wins just wasn't what other teams were, right? And yes, they went on a run. And again, all of that is great. But it was all right in front of them. You know what I mean? I mean, you had to beat UAB and then get to the final and win it. And, you know, they'd have played, I think, Temple if they'd have gotten there. And I think they would have beaten Temple in the final. But they didn't get there. And that's the point, right? They lost to Tulsa in the last regular season game. They didn't beat a you know, top tier opponents early in the season, at home or on the road, really. And they, you know, they were new, and there's reasons for that. And God bless them, they turned this thing around and went on an unbelievable run. But that you are what sort of the bracketologists say you are, and I know he has reasons for this. The thing that bothers me is. There's going to be some apologists now and some people that feel like they got ripped off. Yeah, they really didn't. Not the way the committee looks. There's other teams that feel like they should be in there too. you know, and maybe have a better case even than South Florida. But that's just the way the tournament is. You know, a lot of this too makes it difficult, or some upsets that happen where teams that would not have otherwise made the tournament win their conference tournament and they're an automatic bid. And so that throws it out of whack too, as far as the last four in and all of that. But when I read quotes like this, I know what he's doing. I know what he's saying. But for Abdul-Rahim to say things like, you know, I don't know who the bracketologists are. I guess they have a team somewhere sequestered. But what I would say is this. If you want to see South Florida's all about, if you want to see if we're one of the best 68 teams, just put us in one of those first four games. Put us against your best team. Come see about us, because this ain't the same old South Florida. No, he's right. It's not the same old South Florida. Unquestionably, that's true. And maybe they would beat one of those first four teams in. But here's the thing. You didn't beat the three teams you needed to win in order to get to the tournament without the bracketologists. You had an automatic bid. You were the number one team in the regular season. You went on this run and won all these games. You just didn't finish the job. And so to suggest that, just give me a shot. You had your shot. Like, you don't have to ask for your shot. It was there. And you lost. And it's not the first time you lost to UAB. Worse yet, Steve, if you watch that game, I thought they played right into UAB's hands. I mean, that game was so physical, and there were so many fouls. And I know, you know, they probably feel as though there were more fouls called against them or whatnot. But there was a couple swings there where they weren't just fouls, but they were like flagrant fouls. And, mm-hmm. Yeah, they were flagrant fouls. And you got guys in trouble that you counted on all year long that, you know, for one reason or another, kind of lost their composure, for lack of a better term. I thought that UAB played the game they wanted to play. They wanted to muscle it up. They wanted to stop USF from ball movement and doing all the things they've done all year long. And they got USF to play their game. And I don't know if they play that game again if UAB wins it.
But UAB's beat them twice now.
They beat them twice this year. That's what I mean. Yep. That's sort of like for South Florida, that was a bad matchup. In other words, that's the team they don't want to play, right? Because they mm-hmm. don't match up very well against them. And they didn't really figure them out either, because they didn't have any answers for what UAB was doing. And UAB, let's be honest, they shot their brains out. Like, they made threes that they mm-hmm. normally, you know.
They're not a great three-point shooting team.
No, not at all. No. And they could miss at some points. Yeah. But I still didn't think they played very well.
Well, they've done this all year. Like, they've played with fire getting behind teams.
A lot of times, right?
And they've come back to beat Memphis.
Whole run started getting down 20 with Memphis, yeah. And they came back and won on the road.
But a lot of those games, they got down, and, mm-hmm. and their gritty, not pretty way of playing late in games is they've been able to come out on top.
Right, right.
You got down to a UAB team that was shooting well, and you just mm-hmm. couldn't claw. You kept getting close, but you couldn't claw back.
Like, couldn't get over the hump. Yeah, they tied it up.
It was getting down early. And then I agree. I think you started playing their game instead of your game.
Mm-hmm.
And it ends up being a bad matchup for them. And unfortunately, it cost them a tournament bid.
It did.
You know,
it
based on the scheduling of how strong the conference is, but also their non-conference schedule, which was pretty weak. And they had some bad losses in there.
They were a number 73 NET in ranking. And that's what the NCAA uses primarily.
And you got teams like Indiana State, who's what, 28th?
Yeah.
And that ranking didn't make it. And
they didn't get in.
St. John's is 32.
Right.
Cincinnati's 37. Oklahoma is up there. I mean, it's a shame, because part of USF got punished for some bad losses early, when this is a new coaching staff, new team,
not unexpected all new players. Right, sure.
You know, maybe they weren't expecting the team to do this well, and so the non-conference schedule was pretty weak, which hurt them. I have a feeling next year you will not see that week of a non-conference schedule for South Florida.
No, intentionally so.
Yes. You know, but it's a shame, because the team at the end of the year, I would argue, would be a fun team to watch in that tournament. And forget the net rankings. Look at the eye test and watch these teams, and don't tell me South Florida doesn't deserve a shot at the tournament. I don't watch a ton of college basketball, so I can't sit there and tell you
Are they better than Indiana State? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know that.
Yeah.
I do know that when the net rankings take into effect the whole season, that the team at the beginning of the year is definitely not the team that South Florida is now. And no, that's true. It all factors in, and it probably should. I mean, much like college football, you know, why is it just your last three or four games that should matter? It should be the whole season, right?
Right, right.
So it does matter. But, you know, as we said, South Florida, all you had to do was win your conference tournament, and you were in.
Yeah.
It's a shame, because I would have loved to have seen them in there. And I think the future is bright for this team.
Well, and you ask yourself this. I mean, I think they can win it again, and depending on who mm-hmm. comes back and who they add to it and all the equity they get out of this season as far as recruiting goes. But, you know, they had some things go against them, too. I mean, you had, you know, what the Corey Walker kid, he got hurt in the quarterfinals. And then Sam Hines Jr. had the elbow to the face. And then you had another upper body injury. And then Youngblood, to me, he was the ACC's co-player of the year.
Mm-hmm.
He's their motor. Okay. He's their steady guy. He's the guy that makes the big shots. He's the guy who should calm people down. And he fouled out with 7 minutes to go. They weren't out of it with 7 minutes to go.
Nope.
And he lost his composure. He's the one that got, you know, the flagrant. And they shot like four free throws and got the ball out of bounds. I think they may have scored after that. That was a huge swing in that game. They had fought their butts off to get back and tied that game. Right. And then you had all these penalties it just fouls. But I think it just was the composure. And if they're there again and, you know, they have more tournament experience and they're the hunted, not the hunter and all of that, this should benefit them a year or so from now. We'll see. You know, I'm one that believes that any postseason tournament is great experience. They got an opportunity in the NIT to show how good they are. You know, there's some good teams in that tournament too that they could beat.
No question about it. And UCF's they're
quality a great record,
but in the net rankings, they're what, 17, 18 points or places ahead?
That's right. Now you got to go on the road, and that's unfortunate. I know they would have liked to have had a home game, but, you know, so be it. The war on I-4 is back. Basketball.
And if you win that, you're most likely going to Villanova, who's a really good team.
There you go.
A good team. I shouldn't say really good. Or good team out of the Big East.
But brand names, you know, brand teams, like teams that people are familiar with that you're trying to knock off and get in their company. And it's going to help those players get some postseason experience. It's going to help, hopefully, with recruiting and exposure and things like that. You know, they didn't make apologies for it. I mean, Durr Raheem said, look, we tried to be physical because that's who we are. And, you know, we just, you know, got shorthanded and, you know, guys started stepping up and trying to play, but it just, you know, just didn't work out. So I know there's plenty of people, and rightfully so, that are big USF fans and they're disappointed, and that's fine. And they're going to the NIT, and maybe they think they got screwed and they should host a game, and that's fine. But they had their opportunity, and hopefully this will help them going forward. Like, you got to take care of business. You had it right in front of you. Just you know, they ran into a team. I don't think they matched up very well. I think they got caught up in the physicality of it all and trying to push back, and that's not their game. Even though they're very physical themselves when they want to be, I think it got them out of the rhythm, and then I think that's why they didn't play as well. But who knows? Again, nothing. I mean, what they did, no one would have predicted. They had sellouts at their home arena, which is phenomenal. I think the last three or four games were sold out there. I mean, that's great. But now let's talk about the tournament that matters, because you have your 67-team tournament.
68
teams. Yep. And you know, I mean, who's the number one seed? UConn, maybe, I think, overall?
UConn, Houston, Purdue, and Carolina were the top four seeds.
Defending national champions. I get it. Okay, fine. UConn. If you like UConn and you like those top four seeds, that's great. That's fine. And then you have the NIT. And, of course, we mentioned UCF. And there's some teams that turn down the NIT, like St. John's. But the NIT is a 32-team field, I believe.
Yep, that's correct.
If I'm not mistaken. How about – how about we talk about the tournament that matters, the postseason tournament that only selects, Steve, what, 15 teams?
15 teams, that's right.
They only select. Then you have 68, then you have 30. You got to be elite to get into this tournament with only 15 teams. And my Arkansas State Red Wolves are going dancing in the postseason, baby.
The four seed.
The four seed. How about that? Out of 15, there's only three better than them. And this is, what do they call this tournament now? This gathering?
CBI, which South Florida won a few years ago, if you remember.
Yeah, and look where they are now.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Yeah.
They're playing in the NIT, so step up, baby. My Red Wolves postseason, I think I saw a stat, and I could be totally wrong about this because I don't follow as closely as I should, but I think it might be over 20 years since they had a postseason berth in men's basketball, which is remarkable. But, hey, go get them. Go get them, Wolves. Wolves up, baby.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So we got the Tampa Bay Lightning we've talked about. We've talked about USF and their...
And the Bucks signed some offensive linemen.
Well, they did. And, you know, of course, I thought, to me, like one of the biggest news stories of the weekend, and we'll certainly get to the offensive linemen, but is unprecedented scoopage. When you can beat Adam Schefter to a story, I'd speak from... great experience and failure on his count. But it happened over the weekend when Jason Light, the GM, broke his own news when the Bucks re-signed their quarterback, John Wolford. But not only that, he beat Adam Schefter on, he broke his own news on Twitter or on X, whatever they call that thing now. And not only that, but it was sponsored. He had a sponsored tweet. Where do you get the sponsored tweets?
We'll do sponsored tweets. We just, you know, need a sponsor.
Well, good point. Yeah, we do. And we're looking for one. So, hey, hop in here if you guys are interested. Just hit us up on Sports Day Tampa at Sports Day TV or hit me up at NFL Stroud or rstroud@tampabay.com. But Jason Light, breaking news. That, to me, was the story of the weekend, breaking his own news with a sponsorship.
Now, was that a sponsor or is that where John Wolfer's bank account is and that's where he's depositing the check?
I don't know. I'm not sure. It said hash. What was it? Hashtag. And then was it Fifth Third? It was one of the banks.
Yeah, it's Fifth Third Bank.
Fifth Third. Yeah, that's the Bank of the Buccaneers as far as I know.
I believe that's their official bank. Yes.
Yeah. So shout out to the sponsored tweet. He's already been pitching his hat company that he's part of, that Baker was wearing the upside down Tampa hat. Remember that?
Oh, he's part of that too? Because there's a lot of Tampa athletes part of that company.
Oh yeah. I think Jason's an investor there too. Okay. So yeah. So now he's got that. He's got breaking news. But he did sign a couple of guys, a couple of these I might have had one or two. From the New York Giants. And they went back to the NFC East for some reason. They've been getting a lot of guys from there lately. But Ben Bredesen, you remember him from Michigan. Yep. Love you, Blue.
Yeah, he was offensive lineman there for several years. Really good lineman there.
Yeah, he started all 24 games over the past two seasons for the Giants. He agreed to a one-year deal worth as much as $3.5 million. So that was one signing because they obviously have to replace somebody at that left guard position. With Aaron Stinney, a free agent, and
Matt Filer.
Matt Filer's not here. And then they sign Sua Opeta from the Eagles. And he has not played that much. He was an undrafted guy, a guy out of Weber State back in the day. He signed with the Eagles back in 2019. And the first year he was on the practice squad a long time. But he was one of the strongest players coming out of the draft that year. He put up 39 reps. This is sick. Of 225 pounds on the bench press, the most of any offensive lineman that year. And, of course, his problem has been that he's been stuck behind some of the best, maybe arguably the best collection of offensive linemen in the league in Philadelphia. And He managed to start 10 of his 38 career games. So Bucks trying to, you know, beef up their interior offensive line, protect Baker Mayfield a little bit more, get some thump out of the run. You know, and these two guys have played some ball. They look the part. And I think they're going to be upgrades, you know, sort of over what the Bucks have had. I think they needed to get a little more nasty, a little more physical, a little bigger maybe. And by the way, Brunson can play. He can also play center. And what I was told is, because I was asked, is it going to be a center? Is it going to be guard? Like, he's played guard. It's like, yeah, we don't know yet. And so I'm curious if, depending on, you know, you want to play your best five, but could Robert Hainsey wind up maybe having to fight for a starting job? You know, I don't know that it's automatic that that you just pencil him in as a starter every single year at center, even though he's done a decent job. Mm-hmm.
Competition is good.
It pushes everybody, and they got versatility. So you got some guys that can play guard or center. They also, I mentioned, they re-signed Wolford. They also re-signed offensive lineman Justin Scully to a one-year deal. And yeah, so it was kind of a, you know, time to go outside. Remember, they spent almost their entire offseason and in free agency re-signing their own players. I still think before the week is over, we're going to hear from Lavonte David. Might have a press conference with him later in the week, but maybe have a chance to meet these two offensive linemen as well. So follow all the goings on, and I don't think they're done yet. They're about out of money. They can obviously get more money, but with some restructures, they want to sign Winfield Jr. to an extension. They'd like to sign Tristan Wirfs to an extension, even though mm-hmm. he's under contract for his fifth-year option. And you can lower the salary cap by doing those things and create more space for free agents. And I think there'll be – usually there's a secondary run on free agents after the draft when teams see what their needs are. You'll see some more veteran players released even after June 1st or whatnot. How about the quarterback news? Did you imagine that you could get a Justin Fields for a sixth-round pick?
It seems a little light, but it just shows you that he didn't have a lot of takers.
No, I mean, he really didn't.
With the quarterback signing where they did and then the number of quarterbacks available in this draft.
Right.
You know,
a lot of quarterbacks.
You're seeing the Vikings accumulating more picks, which looks like they're going to try to move up.
They're definitely taking a quarterback. I think they have a deal that if it's not in the table, it's pretty much agreed to.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're going to move up and draft a guy in the top five for sure.
Yep.
And then, you know, the other thing about Fields is this. I think why the market kind of dropped on him was the few teams that might have had an interest in him maybe didn't see him necessarily as a starter, maybe a guy that would come in and compete. Let's say it was Atlanta or some others, Philadelphia, whatnot. I mean, you already have a quarterback there. What's difficult with him, and I'll be interested to see how Pittsburgh does it, although they've been famous for this as an organization throughout the years. But if you play him, if he's your backup, right, and you start Russell Wilson, when Justin goes in the game, you're changing your offense a little bit for him. You're having to run a kind of a different scheme mm-hmm. in some respects because of his athleticism, because he's not necessarily going to be a guy that's going to sit in the pocket like a Russ Wilson. So I think that teams, well, if you didn't see him as the answer for you at starter and you thought he was a backup, you probably were passing just because that means that you're going to have to kind of have a whole different system for him if and when he has to play. And I don't know. It might be good for Fields to get with Russ. They seem mm-hmm. to have a lot of nice things to say about each other. Russell Wilson will be the starter, but it's a long season. And all that matters if you're Mike Tomlin is that, hey, he's been winning 10 games with any quarterback. So if he can win 9 or 10 with Russ and then plus 1 or 2, right,
mm-hmm.
However that works out, you get up to 11 or 12, now you could possibly win the division. So they feel good about what they've done. But, man, there's just a lot of, you know, switch Peter for Paul type stuff with the quarterback positions. Not a lot of it made sense to me. You know, beauty's in the eye of the beholder. Fresh starts are great, right? But, like, a lot of guys moved that you're kind of scratching your head and going, yeah, I don't know that you're better with him. You know, like,
well, but we'll see. I mean, the last couple of years, you had, what, Geno Smith in Seattle?
Yeah.
And Baker Mayfield in Tampa Bay.
Yeah, quarterbacks Derek Carr to some extent. But he didn't make the playoffs, so he had the same record.
But I mean, kind of written off a little bit this, and they kind of resurrect their career with the new.
Oh, there's always one or two. Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
You know, can Russ do that in Pittsburgh? Where they're going to look. The good thing about going to Pittsburgh as a quarterback, they want to run the ball first.
Yeah, like, and that's what he needs.
Like they don't. They're not asking Russell Wilson to come in and win them every game.
No, he didn't have to cook. Just put it in the microwave, mm-hmm. big guy. Meal's right. already made, you know? And do your role.
You take a shot on a six, give a six-round pick, maybe up to a fourth if he has to play a lot this year.
It's nothing, yeah.
For a quarterback with first-round talent.
Talent.
No question. Mm-hmm. You know, can you?
And he won seven games last year. Here's mm-hmm. the thing that people forget. Absolutely. Like, they weren't bad. They were actually really mm-hmm. pretty good the last half of the season.
So, Pittsburgh, who's looking for a quarterback.
Right.
Gives up a six, maybe up to a fourth-round pick.
Mm-hmm.
To see is this guy, can we mold him, help him, develop him?
Yeah. No, I get it.
You know, it's a worthwhile risk for them.
You got a 1-year flyer on him because after this year, obviously, you got a big balloon payment that you're not going to make. Yeah. But
I mean, Pittsburgh's in a division with Lamar Jackson,
right.
Joe Burrow, and Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, they need answers. Yeah.
Like, they need a quarterback.
Yes. Yes. Because they can play defense and run the hell out of the mm-hmm. ball, and mm-hmm. they can stay in most games. And if they got a guy that can make 25 good throws a game, you know, get in the end zone a few times, that might be enough. And I don't think Russ is done. Sometimes it's that, you know, third stop that makes the most sense. I don't know. You know, you had that a little bit with Kurt Warner, who, you know, started with the Rams, and then everybody forgets he was with the Giants. You know, didn't really play much there, wasn't very good when he did. And then, boom, he shows up with the Cardinals. He's in a Super Bowl, you know. Mm-hmm. So that can happen. But we'll see. I like Russ. I think he's, you know, he comes with a lot of Russisms. But
that's an organization, I think, that can.
But if you don't fall in line with the Steelers, you don't fall in line. You can't survive there unless you're just a Steeler. Like, no one, going back to Chuck Dole days, no one's bigger than the organization in that place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and with Mike Tomlin coaching you, that'll be made pretty clear as well. So we'll see. But yeah, it's been interesting, and I think, look, I don't want to sing the praises too loudly here. I think Jason Light did a heck of a job being able to get all these guys back, and Mike Greenberg and all those folks over there, because I don't know that they had better choices at quarterback. Certainly, I don't know that they could have upgraded the receiver position better than getting back their own in Mike Evans. You know, you lock up maybe one day a couple of a Hall of Fame players, if you will, you know, with Winfield, and if Wirfs gets an extension. Lavonte David comes back. He's going to be on the Ring of Honor. He's coming off a really good year at age 33, 34 years old. Still can absolutely play. Get him on a one-year deal. These were team-friendly deals. These were fair deals. They didn't overspend. I don't know what you want. You know, you get your interior lineman. So the goal of every free agency, the way I've kind of looked at it, is if you got to go out and play a game tomorrow, right, what do you look like? But forget the draft. The draft is there. It's coming. It's great. All that stuff. And we know what the Yaya Diabis and the Kalijah Kansis meant to this team a year ago. But forget about all that. What do you look like if you have to play tomorrow? You've got to play the New Orleans Saints. How do you line up? Can you line up okay? You know, Jordan Whitehead, like, that's a huge signing. Can you line up with what you got and be good enough to beat that team tomorrow? The answer, I think, is yes. Now you got the draft coming up, and they're not picking in the top 12 or the top 20 or 24. So, you know, who knows who you add, but, like, you still have a chance to get some rookies that have impact like they did a year ago. And so, you know, from here on out, it's kind of gravy. You know what your team is. You know who your leaders are. You know who your playmakers are on both sides of the ball. You know, we'll see, is KJ Britt going to be able to step up and, you know, be the every down inside linebacker? You know, Devin White now on his way to Philadelphia. Like, there's some question marks there, but this team can line up and play in the NFC South, I think, with anybody. And that's mission accomplished, you know? And so let's see what they do going forward. And presumably, even with a new offensive coordinator, with the carryover they have, you know, you should be okay. So I give Jason Light a lot of credit. I think this is one of his better free agencies, better free agent off seasons. And now he's just got to follow up with another good draft like he's had the last couple of years. All right, so we'll be checking in on who we got. Lightning play on Tuesday night, right?
Lightning play Tuesday night, yep. At Vegas, late night, Vegas. 10 o'clock start.
Right. We're not too far from spring training wrapping up. We'll be getting into the regular season soon.
Opening day is 10 days away.
Unbelievable, man. And then, of course, USF, we mentioned at the War on I-4 at UCF on Wednesday night. That game around 9 o'clock, I believe.
Yep.
So you want to check that out on ESPN+. Plus. All right. It was a busy weekend. We'll be here back tomorrow. Check us out on the Tampa Bay Times and on TampaBay.com. For Steve Burstick, I'm Estrada of the Tampa Bay Times. Have a great day, everybody.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.